Okay, so my name is Michaela, and this is Alexis. Obviously, I'm an addict. I just want to take a moment of silence to invite my higher power in and just kind of collect myself, and then I'll get started. Okay, I'm as ready as I'll be. Okay, so like I said, my name is Michaela. I'm an addict. I have about 5.5 years clean. Thank you. I know clean time doesn't really matter, but there was a point in my recovery, early recovery, that part of me was almost afraid of having a bunch of clean time because it was just kind of daunting when I would take away the just for today portion of the program and think to myself, holy shit, I have to do this every fucking day for the rest of my life. So yeah, I was kind of afraid of it, and I remember sharing about it, you know, 30, 60, 90 days clean, even when I got my first year or so. It was just something that was on my mind, and then I am in a relationship with another addict in recovery who has more clean time than me. I'm just kind of watching him go through his struggles at certain points in his recovery and watching him get, you know, complacent. And I'm not trying to tell his story, but in a way it's part of my story. So here I am at 5.5 years clean doing a workshop on clean time and complacency. So my first couple years of recovery, you know, I definitely did what I was supposed to do, or I did what was suggested. I got involved with the program. I got a sponsor within my first 30 days. I think I started working the steps within my first 90 days. You know, and eventually I got involved with service work. Those are the couple of things that had kept me clean. I kept showing up even when I didn't want to. There was a time in my recovery where I had upset quite a few people, and like all of us, you know, I felt like I wasn't really welcome in the rooms anymore, but that was just my disease talking. That when I was in conflict with these people, it was because of I was acting out on symptoms of my disease. But I kept coming back, I kept showing up, regardless of what my disease was telling me, and I got through it. I worked on myself, I worked steps about it, I worked with my sponsor, and all that. Thankfully, relapse is not a part of my story. However, I would almost use that against myself. If you've heard me share before, you've heard me say that, you know, I didn't come here because I was legally obligated to. I came here of my own free will. I checked myself into treatment. You know, I'd never been on probation, jail, any of that. So it was really hard for me feeling like I belonged here. And I carried that with me, you know, up until maybe four years. And it's still, you know, I still kind of feel that way sometimes, but I definitely compared myself a lot to other people and their stories. And, you know, we glorify drug use, and sometimes we glorify our war stories and stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, I just found myself comparing myself a lot. And eventually, I got through it. I, you know, had to get a new sponsor because of, you know, whatever, but I brought that up with her. And she had said something that just kind of made the light bulb click. And she said, you know, you didn't have to ruin your life to get here, and that's okay. Because I know where I was headed towards the end of my using. My recovery, you know, obviously has its ups and downs, ebbs and flows. I have good times, bad times, like all of us, whatever. But eventually, you know, I started getting things back. Like, I bought a house, I got the car, I got the husband. And with that, I got, you know, the clean time, obviously. More time would go between working on steps and talking with my sponsor and stuff like that. And I definitely found myself questioning this program a lot, because I've found that the longer I stuck around, the more often I would see people with a lot of clean time slowly drift away. And on social media, you know, I fall for it. It looks like they're living their best life without NA, without having to do these weekly meetings, and without having to donate their time, and without having to, you know, work so deeply on themselves. And that looked really attractive. Then there was a period of time where somebody had brought up, well, don't you think NA is kind of a cult? And first, like, that wasn't my first time hearing that, you know, obviously being around for so long. Well, not so long, but you know what I mean. And then that kind of got in my head about that. And I was like, yeah, like, it's fucking weird. Like, we do these weird-ass chants, and we, like, circle up, and we, you know, do these, like, readings that seem, like, introductory. And, like, what the fuck is that? And then as time, you know, went on, and you know, a couple other things that happened, which I'll get into in a second. You know, I came to realize, like, this is my church, and there's nothing wrong with that. And NA is my higher power. I'm just like normal people, you know, they do things like donate their time to, like, churches, and even some of us do. And, you know, people do things to help better themselves. And this is what NA is doing for me, and there's nothing wrong or weird about it. Maybe it is a little culty, but whatever. Like, I know where my life would be without Narcotics Anonymous, and I don't need to be ashamed of that. I am in nursing school, so with learning about certain things, certain topics get brought up. So I am actually able to share my experience, strength, and hope with, you know, my fellow students. I kind of changed their perspective a little bit from, like, the medicine side to, like, the real life relatable side. So definitely, I work this program in all areas of my life. So eventually, like, anyway, beginning of this or last year maybe is when that complacency started to get really scary for me, because I was, like, deeply questioning Narcotics Anonymous, and I was debating on leaving, which was really scary, because you guys have kept me safe for so long, you know. It was like a security blanket. I mean, it is. But I don't know, for some reason I was just, like, trying to find holes in it and trying to pick it apart. And then my first sponsor called me one day, and she is like, well, I just want to let you know that I've been smoking weed for the last month, and it's something I'm going to continue to do. So I was like, okay. And then a couple weeks later, another friend decided to stop coming to meetings. Thankfully, he's still clean. I really feel like he will come back one day, on good terms. But so that really kind of affected me, because these were two people in my life who were doing all of the things they told me not to do 5 years ago. So it was just kind of a huge mind fuck, because I'm like, okay, well, if you guys are out living your best life, you know, without Narcotics Anonymous, like, why can't I? And then I started thinking, and don't get me wrong, I've thought about, you know, using within the last 5 years in my recovery, whatever, I think it's part of the disease. I just never acted on it, of course. Where I was actually considering, like, okay, well, maybe I would be fine if I had, like, a glass of wine, you know, a couple times a week, or if I smoked weed, you know, a couple times a week. And so that was really fucking scary for me. And I didn't know what to do. I tried listening to like recovery podcasts and trying to like go to different meetings, be involved more with my own home group, whatever. And I talked a lot, you know, I shared a lot about it. And a lot of things I said, one of the things I said that remained constant was, well, I just need to go back to the basics and pick up my step work again. Again, that was a lot of talking. There wasn't a lot of action behind that. So eventually, I don't know, I don't know if you guys can relate, but I sit on my steps. I don't sit on them. I reflect on them for a couple, like maybe a month or two before I move on to the next one, live through it, see how it's like, how I'm applying it to my daily life and stuff like that. And then usually whatever step I'm on, something in my life is going on that happens to relate to it. But anyway, I felt this push to finally pick it up again. And I think it was just too much time had gone on since working on my last one. But yes, yeah, so I picked up the basic text. I read on the step. I read from It Works, How and Why, which is probably one of my favorite books. Even a little bit of Living Clean. And I finally picked up my step work again. I 100% believe in working the steps. I don't see how people could just choose to come here and not work the program. I mean, I guess I get it. It's kind of scary to, like, you know, work on yourself and be vulnerable to another person, especially if you've been through a lot of trauma. You know, I totally have empathy for that. But I pick up that step working guide and I write down my answers. I go over it with my sponsor and life just, I feel more free. You know, life doesn't necessarily get better or worse, it just is. However, like my soul just feels a lot more lifted when I go through that and dig through the deepest parts of myself. And for full transparency, I have 5.5 years, but you know, I'm only on step 8. So I definitely let, you know, I had to start over a couple times with switching sponsors and, you know, at harder times in my recovery, there were a couple steps I had to sit on a little bit longer before I felt comfortable moving on. But it's definitely not a race, and it says in one of the readings, we'll come to an understanding of the program for yourself. I used to envy the people, you know, who would sit down and go 1 through 12 in like 4 months. Sorry, not sorry, but that's just not enough time for me to like reflect and, you know, see in what areas I can apply these steps in. And, you know, get over my resistance, because I still have some of that. I still get a little complacent, you know, but I'm finally, like, I can feel it lifting. I can feel the gratitude coming back again. And, you know, I picked up my step working guide. I signed up to chair a lot more, like, I think a month straight for my home group. I'm involved with Miracles, so just doing the very, very basics again. But for me, the most basic is working the program, because it works if you work it. And I don't want to know where I would be without it. So, yeah, I think that's all I have. I'm grateful to be here. Thank you all for showing up. This is the first workshop I've ever chaired in this capacity with me standing up, so... thank you all for coming, and Alexis is up next.
Hi guys, I'm an addict called Alexis. Thank you for starting for me. And first of all, welcome everybody, and I want to thank everybody who helped make this convention happen. Service work. Like, it is such a joy, and like, I know most of these people on the board of this convention personally, and they all have families and relationships, romantic and otherwise, and jobs and pets and school and everything else that they're doing. But they give to things like this so that we can all be here and experience this together. Conventions like this just make me come alive. I feel like I'm glowing coming to these. I love talking to people. I love being with people that I know, my friends in recovery, established friends, and then meeting new people. It just gives me a real charge. And so thank you to everyone for being here too and attending, because you know, I was thinking of this the other night. Sorry if it's off topic, but if you are a young person, single person with kids in recovery, we need you here. If you are an older person, married with kids, without kids, with a dog in recovery, we need you here. If you got 20 years, we need you. If you got 20 days, we need you. Like, just, you know, without everybody's varied experience, I couldn't get anywhere. And that's kind of the conclusion I came to when I was thinking about this topic, clean time and complacency. I'll be honest, last year at this time when I was asked to do a workshop, I knew I shouldn't have said yes, and I did it anyway because I wanted to people please, and it, in my mind, and people, I don't know if they're being polite or not, but other people have told me, no, it was fine, it was good, but it crashed and burned. I probably talked for 10 minutes, if that. You weren't there. Were you even there? No. And it just was not. It was something I wasn't ready to speak on, and I knew that, but I did it anyway. And I thought there were periods leading up to this workshop that I thought, oh, I did this for the wrong reasons again. When I was asked, I initially said no, and then I was told, oh, that's a shame, because I was going to ask you to share with Michaela. And then I was like, okay, I'm down for that. Like, case in point, I have learned so much from you, and the fact that our stories are so similar in so many ways, but then so different in so many others, you have blasted so many of my prejudices and my thoughts, you know, about what an addict is and who deserves to be here. But I also wanted to personally thank the workshop chair that asked me to do this, because I realized on the way up here too that, you know, this is a gift. This is the kind of thing that keeps me out of complacency. Because for me, my disease in my head is really good at telling me that I'm doing great. That, like, yeah, I have all these service commitments. I'm talking to my sponsor 3 times a week. I go to my job. I maintain this outside stuff. And so I'm not getting complacent. But I am, because what I do is I get into this comfortable rut where I'm comfortable with these people on the board, and I'm comfortable with my sponsor, and I'm comfortable hearing the same somebody telling me all the time, yeah, you're doing great, you're doing great. But to step out and do a workshop where I'm like, ooh, I maybe don't know exactly what I'm gonna say, and what if I make a mistake, or what if something goes the way I haven't planned it, that is where the real growth comes for me, and the real, you know, learning and the real changing. And I don't like to do that. I don't like to put myself in those positions. So the fact that I was asked and I said yes, maybe it was out of my hands, and I'm very glad that I did. I am, you know, I was a person that was compelled to come to these rooms. And that was a big part too, I don't know so much complacency, if you want to call it that, because again, I was doing all the right things while I was going through that program, and I was saying all the right things to everyone else and to myself. I graduated the program, and 2 weeks later, I was on the floor in my bathroom, and my neighbor had to call an ambulance for me. And it was just a shock, because I'm able to, you know, convince myself that everything is going good. I don't need to go any further with things. In the beginning of my recovery, you know, once I got past that point, then, yeah, I was desperate enough to follow some suggestions and to step out and do some things that I wouldn't have done before. And now, having a couple years, I feel like it's a lot more difficult maybe for other people with more clean time than me, it does get easier again to be flexible. But I very easily get stuck in a rut with doing the same things over and over. One thing that has really helped me is sponsorship. I told this story the last time I spoke at the Cold Turkey, so those of you that were there and heard it, I apologize. But it still strikes me. It made me laugh again to myself on the way here, just because of my own self-deception and the way that I need other people around me. Like, I don't like to have people point things out to me. When I was doing my fourth step, and my sponsor suggested that I ask my friends for defects and assets, like, that was a really scary thing for me to do. Like, it took a lot of courage for me to ask my friends, my close friends, like, what do you see in me? What are my defects? Because I want to think that I'm like this, I'm out here this like shining prism of an example of recovery and like, oh, I'm this and that. And like, even if I think I know 90% of the things that somebody might say to me that are my defects, still, when somebody close to me says that out loud to me, oh, you do this, it's like, God, really? Like, they can see it. They can see it. Like, I can see it, but you can see it too. Like, I thought I was doing a good job of, no. Not so much. So related to that with the sponsorship, there was something, you know, that I was acting out on that I did not want to tell a couple of my sponsees about, because I thought if I tell them this, they're going to be disgusted by it. They're going to drop me as a sponsor. They're not going to want to, you know, like anything to do with me. Why would they, you know, come to me for suggestions when they find this out about me? But after a while, I finally was like, okay, you know, I got to be honest with these girls and maybe it'll help them relate. And so I got up my courage and I, you know, on the phone with one of these girls, and I told her, like, look, I have to confess to you, you know, I have this and that going on in my life. And like, she was like, oh, okay, you know. And I was like, what do you mean okay? Like, I was expecting you to be very upset. I'm like, I can't imagine you doing something like that. No, it was very natural to her to just accept that, yeah, I'm acting out in this way. Like, that kind of shook me a little bit. Like, okay, I'm not, like, you know, to see myself from other people's eyes, it's a very important part of the program for me. And I also, we're around the same place on our steps here again. But I have also been doing a lot of talking, self-talk, saying I should go back, because I take my time on my steps also a bit. I have a way of, I'll finish a step with my sponsor and then I get this thought in my head like, okay, well, that's done. Now, like, whew, I'm gonna take a break for a while before I start the next one. But, you know, I've been thinking I should, it's been at least a year since I was doing the fourth and fifth, the sixth and seventh, like I should probably go back and brush up on that again before I have some event that forces me to do it. So I was looking through my Living Clean, trying to kind of figure out what I wanted to say here, and funnily enough, I had some things highlighted in here from the first time I read this that still really hold true to me when I was thinking about what I wanted to say. And this one sentence here I can really relate to. And what it says is, when what we're doing isn't working, we stop. But when what we're doing is halfway working, we tend to keep going even if it's uncomfortable because we're used to it. And that is borne out in my life in so many ways. I can say that, yeah, I do a lot of service work and I love it, I enjoy it, I do sponsorship, I do all these things. But as Michaela was saying, the whole meat of this program is, you know, living these principles in all of my affairs. And so when I am at work and I'm not around the tables, you know, I get comfortable in my role there. I get comfortable in my role with my family. I get comfortable in my role with my son. You know, any of these outside relationships. And if I can feel that little nagging, you know, like the frog in the pot of water, like it's getting hotter, it's getting warmer, it's getting a little warmer. Like, I don't really like this so much anymore, but like to step out and try to change it, I don't know what's gonna happen. And I'm like, I'm just gonna stay here where I'm at. So the only thing that I found to guard against that, as I said, is like surrounding myself with people in this program. I trust them, I love them, and they love me. I know that they're not here to hurt me. To have gotten to a place with so many people in this program that, you know, when they point something out to me, I don't see it as criticism. I see it as, you know, as a help. Maybe not directly. Some of my best meetings or my biggest aha moments at meetings have been, you know, when I'll share and then somebody that knows me directly afterwards will share and say something. I just want to knock them out. I just want to knock them out. And then I know that it was something that I needed to hear. So it sometimes takes me a little while to look at myself and come around to that. But if I'm not spending time with people here, and if I'm not taking those risks and those chances in my life, not just, you know, around the tables and with service and things, but at my job, with my family, in my relationships, I'm gonna stay stuck. I was talking with someone outside prior to this workshop a little bit about relationships too, and that was something else that I meant to touch on at the cold turkey, and I didn't. You know, like that was another thing. It feels crazy to me looking back on it now, but at the time, you know, it made sense. I was 6 months clean. I got into a relationship with someone around the tables, and he was an amazing person. He is still an amazing person. It's probably the healthiest relationship I've ever had. But eventually the water started to heat up, and I knew that we weren't right for one another. Things started coming up and kept coming up. But I just, you know, people knew us as a unit. I didn't know, because I had started the relationship so early in recovery, I didn't know who I was without this person. Like, I knew that I would have to pretty much start all over with getting to know myself, because healthy relationship or not, you know, whatever you're putting time into, that takes time away from knowing myself. So I was telling this person outside, like, it really got to this point, and it was around this time last year that things really started coming to a head. And I remember maybe in March of last year, I took a vacation with my mom out of state, and I remember being down there and thinking, like, I can't break up with this person. It's gonna hurt too much, and I don't know how it'll go, and like, I didn't want to use over it, but I can't stay with this person anymore. I had tried that too. I thought, like, well, we'll just live together, and it just, like, I'll just put up with it. We'll lay next to each other in bed, and I just won't feel it, but I'll just keep doing it, because, and neither of those things was working anymore. And so I finally came to this point where I was like, well, I'll just kill myself. Like, that's a way out. Like, that'll be the end of this then. I'm not gonna have to deal with it. Like, that really seemed like a viable option at the time. And I remember, you know, like, crying hysterically over it for a couple of days, trying to wrap my mind around, like, that's just what I'm going to have to do. And then finally, you know, coming back to my senses and being like, yeah, if this is where I am, like, I have to walk away. So I don't know. I don't know, you know, for each person personally, what your disease, what my disease, like, tells me is enough that I'm doing. Usually the thing that I don't want to do, the thing that I'm afraid of doing, is what I need a little kick to be pushed into. So I guess I'll just wrap it up by saying that I would encourage anyone, whether you feel like you're complacent or you're not, what has worked for me is to try to do that thing that maybe that nasty voice in your head is telling you, like, don't do that because you might fail at it, or don't do that because you might get ridiculed over it, don't do that because it's uncomfortable. You know, those are the things. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes I do fail at it, sometimes I do get ridiculed, but those are always the things that I look back and it's like, you know, it changes me, it makes me stronger, and it makes me grow. So thank you guys all again for being here and for listening. And we love you all. With that, we are going to open up the floor for anyone else to come on up if you would like to share your experience, strength, and hope. Thanks, guys.